are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, and I think Tom Lear's song is all the more appropriate as war is breaking out between the Ukraine and Russia. Ukraine historically was a part of Russia. Nikita Khrushchev, who is a Ukrainian, declared its independence, but that was prior to the dissolution of the Soviet Union, when it seemed to make no really significant difference. Zbigniew Brzezinski, however, in his book The Grand Chessboard, suggested that if Ukraine could be pried away from Russia, that because Ukraine was the breadbasket of Russia, that it would greatly weaken the bear. And now the United States, under this Zionist-controlled Biden administration, where he's merely a puppet and a figurehead, has encouraged the president of Ukraine to launch a war to regain control of Crimea, which Russia cannot allow to take place. That's a Russian's access to water, their port. And massive troops are assembling. And I predict we're going to be in a war that could go nuclear, making Tom Lear's admonitions about us all going together when we go all the more appropriate and timely. Let me just say, if you've had any doubts about it, then get out and watch again Stanley Kubrick's brilliant film, Dr. Strangelove, which I regard as the most important contribution to cinematography in history. Meanwhile, today, I'm very pleased to be featuring Danny Siras, who has extensive background in law enforcement. Danny and I have collaborated on many projects, including the staging of the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash. It's embarrassingly bad how much we, the public, have been played again and again and again. Now, while we have reported as well on the Boulder false flag shooting, projecting that there would be virtually one a week. In fact, it could even come down to one a day because the Democrats think they can fool us into thinking these are real shootings, real events to promote their gun control agenda, where I believe they shot themselves in both feet, politically speaking, with defund the police, supporting all the rioting, looting, and arson, because Americans then began to understand that if you're in serious trouble, you cannot count on the police to defend you. And if you need help, if you can't defend yourself, you are in a bad, bad way. So that the number of sales of weapons now to first-time buyers has simply skyrocketed. Well, in accordance with my projection, we have a new shooting in Orange in California, and I have Danny here to give us an uptake about it. Here's one of the reports he sent me from The Hill, which, of course, is a publication for those who work on Capitol Hill. Four killed in California office shooting. Four people, including a child, yes, for emotional effect, were killed in a shooting Wednesday in Southern California. The Orange Police Department confirmed officers responded to a call of gunshots being fired at approximately 5:30 p.m. Pacific at a local office building. The shooter was still active when officers arrived. An officer-involved shooting occurred. She didn't state whether it involved multiple officers. The suspected shooter identified by the police at the scene are the victims. The suspected shooter and one other woman were hospitalized following the incident. California Governor Newsom called the shooting horrifying and heartbreaking. Remember, as Rahm Emanuel observed, we can't let a crisis go to waste. They view crises as opportunities. These, however, appear to be a series of fake crises. Here, Newsom tweeted, horrifying and heartbreaking, our hearts are with the families impacted by this terrible tragedy. Representative Katie Parker, whose district includes the city of Orange, tweeted she was continuing to keep victims and their loved ones in my thoughts as we continue to learn more. The city of Orange is about 30 miles southeast of Los Angeles, the deadliest shooting in the city since 1997, when a gunman killed four and wounded others, including a police officer. And, of course, it mentions both a shooting in Boulder and the event in Atlanta. Danny, we have the story here. Gunman locked office complex gates before fatally shooting four victims whom he knew. Tell us about it. What have you figured out, my friend?
Hello, Dr. Fetzer. Can you hear me okay today?
Clearly, very clearly.
Okay. Yeah, this story is kind of unwinding slowly. They're giving out details very slow, what causes suspicion. But what I noticed right away is the way the story is developing, where supposedly he the police pulled up and he was shooting at them. That was the preliminary report, that he was shooting at the police as they pulled up. I'm highly suspect of that. It doesn't fit the rest of the details of the story. You know, the locked gate they talk about, he locked them in the gate and so on and so forth. You know, that Orange community is kind of a wealthy community. A lot of stars live there. A lot of movie stars live there, some gated communities up there. And it's funny you mentioned that we covered the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash because Kobe Bryant had a large estate there in Orange, California, before he passed away. I think his wife still lives there. But as I looked into the story, I noticed a few things right off the bat. Now, of course, I haven't been to that area or that property to look at. I can only go by the reports, but one of the things I noticed off the bat were the mainstream media. I noticed that all of the mainstream media started running almost the same report word for word all over the place. You know, the usuals, CBS, CNBC, all the regulars chimed on immediately. And then before the details were even out, Governor Newsom already chimed in immediately. With his condolence tweet and a few other ones. And I thought that very suspicious because, you know, we have cities in California, for instance, like Oakland, California, or Compton, where there's almost, you know, there's shootings constantly in those cities, and he's silent. He never says anything about the shootings or people that get killed in those cities. But yet we have the shooting in Orange, and the mainstream media is all over it like it's 9/11. You know, all the networks at the same time, and the publications, as well as, you know, Governor Newsom. So that just was like a little strange. Why is this one so important? But getting on to the details, the fact that he was, you know, shooting at the police as they pulled up, it just doesn't fit the story. And then what happened is right away I went into his background. They did release his name. He's got a strange spelling of his name. I don't even really know how to pronounce it, but I looked it up, and he doesn't come up anywhere in the databases. So usually when that happens, sir, they're either not a citizen, right, or they're a ghost. And that's very troubling, because anytime there is a shooting anywhere in my state or other states, what I do is I'll take, when I find out who the shooter is, I will run the person's name. And usually they come right up in the databases, and I can see their rap sheet. I can see their records. And I that's just a quick check for me to know what's going on, see if it was real or if it was not. And I do that quite regularly. Well, this particular time is one of those times again, and it fits the MO of a false flag, where we got the media, as we said, as you covered, all over this, the mainstream media. We got the governor chiming in, and the guy comes up as a ghost. He doesn't show up. And to me, we got a major problem there. Let's say he wasn't a citizen by chance. Okay, let's just take it for granted. Okay, he's not a citizen. He's illegal. Well, how did he get a weapon? You know, to have a weapon in California, especially in California or the United States, you have to be a citizen of the United States. Non-citizens are not allowed to have weapons, especially in California. There might be some loopholes in some other states that I don't know about, but here in California, you have to have a weapon. So, you have to be a citizen. Same with Nevada, and I believe Oregon for sure is that way as well. So I was highly suspicious of that. And again, going through all the records, I couldn't find him. He's not a ghost. He doesn't exist. Now, there are some people in the United States that have that name, which I thought was very interesting. And I went through all those people, and there's not very many. It's a short handful of them. And the ages don't match him, but none of them are him. I was able to independently verify the few that do have that name, and they're not him. And also the middle name is completely different, and then the ages are off on most of the few that we do have. So right away, looking into it with the details, the governor, the mainstream media, and the fact that he doesn't exist in any known database, no driver's license, no nothing, and he's not coming up, he was either an illegal with a firearm, which I highly doubt that he was cunning enough to put together a plan where he was shooting at the police, or he's a ghost and he doesn't exist, sir. And that's pretty much what I have preliminary based on what they've released so far.
Well, Danny, just for the sake of clarification, I'm sure I'm not the only who noticed you refer to Kobe as having passed away. But of course, our reports indicated that they had taken a load of rubbish out there, was right on a dirt road, dumped it there to create the false impression of a helicopter having crashed there. We took that apart pretty thoroughly. I've even had a subsequent report of someone running into Kobe in Columbus, Ohio, some location like that, and he wasn't real happy to be identified. Would you care to elaborate? Do you now believe Kobe is among the dear departed?
You know, sir, I have not looked at that report, the Ohio report. I've heard a couple of rumors out there, but I haven't seen anything substantial, and I haven't been able to see any eyewitnesses that came forward with any real accounts of that yet. Now, we did cover the helicopter crash, and to refresh everybody's mind, we know that helicopter crash, as we were shown, okay, at least as we were shown, was not a normal crash. And just a few highlights of that is, I fly myself. I have a little bit of helicopter time, mostly in fixed wing, but I did study and fly helicopter for a little while. And the thing is all the parts for the helicopter are missing. There's some key parts that were missing to the helicopter, particularly the engines. There's two of them on that helicopter. They're quite heavy. It's a lot of titanium parts. They just don't disappear. Anybody that knows titanium knows it's pretty much the hardest surface on planet Earth, and the parts don't disappear, much less, you know, going back to the 9/11 where all the engines were disappeared from the crashes. But in either case, sticking with the Kobe thing, all the parts were missing. You know, the rotors weren't there. They don't just disappear. And also the engines were gone, and it was a pile of ash, as you talked about. And it was also strategically placed right on a trail, conveniently right on a little dirt fire trail. It was very interesting. The layout of the crash didn't make any sense. And again, all the parts were missing. The camera footage that they had didn't make any sense at all. It was just some sound. We didn't have any pictures or photos of the crash yet. We had all these eyewitnesses that said they saw it, but yet no, with all these cell phones that are out there, nobody managed to take a picture of the helicopter going down into the hill or anything close to it. So we know from all the evidence we put together at that time, and I'm sure our listeners today can go back and find that video. Maybe you can put that in the comment section for them to link to. They can go back, and I think Scott Bennett had joined us that day and had some really interesting things to say about that as well. But we know for sure that was definitely a staged crash. And this is all put together based on the evidence that we had on that day when we did that report.
I thought you did a sensational job then, Danny, just as you have with a Boulder shooting and on other events. Anything further come to your attention about the Boulder event? We know we have now a longer video. We had the short one we actually included in the show for those who watch the video version to observe themselves. I've since seen a longer version, and you see not only the journalist rushing into the door, he's the only one who's nearly hysterical and concerned, showing real anxiety, dropping a lot of F-bombs along the way, observing bodies there, turning to the fellow who appears to be the grocery store employee, is just casually texting Danny, and asking, are there any others? Is he here? And he just sticks his thumb to say inside. And the journalist steps inside, and there's another body. And he starts going, man, oh, man, this is terrible. Then he hears two shots. Again, the guy is just texting. I mean, it's just unbelievably embarrassing. He comes out, and he runs around the building, Danny. Now, in the shorter clip, you don't see this, but he runs all the way around to the back of the grocery store. And he sees an older woman and a man with a grocery cart. But they're just there they're just having a chit-chat. Now, it does appear when he comes back that there may have been a time lapse. In other words, that the shorter video we saw was two clips, one from his first engagement, and then there's a piece where he's just looking around. This part going all the way to the back of the building, for example, is not included there. And then we turn to see the SWAT team assembled. I'm not clear now exactly when that was taken, but it's certainly significant that they seem unconcerned with what's going on. And of course, all the attention, effort, and resources they devoted to getting rid of the journalist who was blowing their cover. You know, I understand, Danny, from another source that the journalist still thinks it was all real. I mean, that's astounding. But I'll tell you, the mindset, you know, the power of the mainstream, even though he was there, even though his footage demonstrates, in my opinion, conclusively, that this was a completely staged event, what I'm hearing now is that he actually seems to think what he was covering was a real live event and real people really died. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, I'd like to try and focus for the audience and put an image into their head and kind of put it together and even go back a little bit further than our last report a few minutes, if I may. And here's what I mean by that. Okay, now that we're never going to get the mainstream or these people that pull off these false flags, for one, they're never going to come out and say, you know what, Dr. Fetzer caught us again. By the way, it was a false flag. Yeah, yeah, you caught us. You know, you're never going to get that confirmation.
Yes, of course, you're right.
That a lot of people want. You know, can you imagine Anderson Cooper coming on and said, well, you know, Dr. Fetzer foiled us again. I guess maybe next time we'll get away with it. You know, if you're looking for that kind of confirmation, I want to tell everybody that's never going to happen. They're going to continue to lie forever, and they're never going to come out and admit to it. You know, maybe someday, but it's not going to happen. But let's just back up for a second. I want to put this in everybody's mind. I believe this is important, sir. So when you look at the initial report, we're told that there was a responding officer. His name was supposedly, they're telling us, his name was Eric Talley, 51 years old. And he, you know, we have all these stories about him, but, you know, we went into that last time. He doesn't check out in the background. But let's say he, for the sake of their story, they say that he was the first responder to the shots, okay? So here's the problem that develops right away, okay? And you really have to kind of focus, and everybody just kind of wrap your mind around this. So you're on patrol, okay? Let's put yourself in his shoes. You're a patrolman. And what do? You get the call. You zoom over there. You got the lights and sirens going on, the rotors, you know, and you get over there. Boom, what are you going to do? You're going to pull up to the store. So your chances are you're going to pull into the parking lot. You're going to come in from the side entrance probably. You're not going to come straight in from the front. And you're going to park along one of the sides adjacent to the door. You're going to get pretty close, but you're not going to be in the line of fire. You're not going to pull up your patrol car right to the glass door. You're not going to do that, okay? So you're going to pull up somewhere adjacent. So what's missing, if we back up into that scene when that reporter shows up, you notice there's no police cars anywhere in the park lot. As a matter of fact, you don't see any flashing rotor lights anywhere, nowhere in the street, in the intersection, the stoplights. I mean, we actually don't see any anywhere. I've been through every inch of that video, and I can't find one single police light or rotor, as we used to call it. I can't find any flashing anywhere, even through the intersection thing. So what happened to the patrol officer? Okay, his car should be readily visible somewhere in that video because he shines that camera, excuse me, all along the front of that store. So his car has disappeared, okay, his patrol car. How did he get there? All right. So he's on the scene. He's a first responder, and he's on the scene supposedly before even this reporter. So where is the police officer? He's not there. And also you have the old man that we talked about, the older man that comes out that's texting. And I don't know if he's an employee. I don't see a vest on him or a uniform. I'm not sure what he's doing there. But he's nonchalantly, as we talked about, he's texting. He's very calm as gunshots ring out in the store, and there's a dead body, or appears to be a dead body, or somebody playing a dead body, right there laying on a display on the floor, and there's no blood, but yet the shots are going off, all right? Well, did that witness this texting, did he not see the police officer come into the building and clear the building? You know, if I would have been the first one in there, sir, I would have been screaming, get everybody out of the building, everybody get out now. And that store would have been empty. That man, whoever's texting, he wouldn't have been standing in that door at all. I would have had that store cleared and had that door cleared and been working on even clearing that parking lot. But I would have gone in because I would have been worried about him taking out other patrons that didn't get out of the store. So I wouldn't sit out in the parking lot wondering if he's in there shooting people. Okay, that's just me. I wouldn't have done that. Now, there could be policies in place. You have to wait for a backup or whatever. I don't know what their policies there at the sheriff's office or how they run that place, but I would have gone in. We don't see any signs of Eric Talley, the first responder they say that happened and showed up first, okay? Nothing going on, so I'm a little troubled by that. And then as the video progresses, as you pointed out, he was there for several minutes. So there could have been a little time lapse in the video, but we see the SWAT team assembling by this time, as he comes out of the store. And it appears that not that much time has gone by. And we see them, and they're being kind of lackadaisical. They're not in a rush. They're going through like a briefing. You know, we went through those details. Their weapons aren't really ready to go. They don't have out the patrol officers in the corner that are standing there. There's five of them. They also don't have their weapons out. Everybody's kind of calm, cool, and standing around like they're just kind of waiting for something. And what I noticed, sir, is there's no patrol cars even to this time. Now, that's even further troubling. how did the five patrol officers that are there in uniform get there if they don't have patrol cars? Where are the lights for their patrol cars? Their patrol cars should have been somewhere adjacent to where they were. You know, did they park blocks down the street and walk in? I don't think they did that, sir. There's no patrol cars. We also don't see any ambulances on standby. We don't see any fire truck. We don't even see rotors from ambulances and fire trucks. We don't even hear sirens from ambulances coming into the area or from fire trucks coming into the area. But yet we have bodies laying around on the outside on the railing and one in the parking lot. Are they not going to check the bodies? Are they not going to even give them a chance to see if they're still breathing and they can be resuscitated, right? We always check. We don't just take for granted because we see a body laying on the ground. We're not going to give it a shot, right? The paramedics right away will come up and try to assess the position. We never see any of this medical treatment going on for these bodies. We don't even see any medical staff. All we see is these cops with no police cars, right? No vehicles. We just have the one armored vehicle. We're missing the patrol car from Officer Talley's first response. He's missing. Where is he? Why is that man in the store still texting when Talley went in there to clear the store or should have gone there? What happened to him? Where is he? Is that guy so cool that he knows a cop also got shot in there and he's just standing at the door waiting for someone else to show up? Nothing, sir, in that video, nothing. When you analyze it in detail and put the timeline together with everything that you and I pointed out, nothing makes sense, sir. Nothing fits. It just all adds up. It did not happen. It's a false flag. It looks like a drill. That's what we're saying. I would challenge anybody to put all this together and look at it, look at the timeline. It just did not happen. All the equipment's missing.
Teddy, I think that's
just not possible.
I think that's brilliant, and I'm beginning to be suspicious that the longer version I was sent might be also a ruse because it has sirens in the background, but as you observe, no police cars show up, no ambulance. That's preposterous if you had to report a multiple shooters, a mass shooting going on in a grocery store. They don't show fake. We're about to hit the break with Danny. We return and pick up with a George Floyd, the latest developments in the trial there, and we'll take your calls during the second hour while I further you Russia developing.
Right. You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I've been reporting extensively about George Floyd, but more and more now the trial's getting massive coverage. Maybe it'll turn out to be the most watched trial in U.S. history, absent O.J., where I blew a whole sabbatical watching the O.J. trial and not only recorded all the testimony, but all the discussions that Geraldo, who was then doing actually good work that was meaningful for the American people, was featuring all kinds of experts talking about it from A to Z. It was utterly fascinating, such that years later, my wife and daughter, if I were misbehaving, threatened to tape over my OJ tapes to guarantee I would behave. It was like that. I was obsessed with it. I became convinced that O.J. had indeed committed the crime and that they had been very clever about making sure the glove would not fit because it was skin tight. And to preserve the evidence or so, they claimed they had O.J. put on latex gloves, which guaranteed that the gloves would not fit. Hence, we had Johnny Cochran's theme, if the gloves don't fit, you must acquit, which was nonsense. Now, here we have even video of the arrest and so forth, which turns out to be fairly extensive, more lengthy than I have seen in the past. Just as Alan Dershowitz was a key commentator in relation to O.J., here we have him offering an opinion piece. Does the Floyd videotape prove Derek Chauvin's guilt? In his opening argument for the state, prosecutor Jerry Blackwell featured the entire 9-minute cell phone call video of Chauvin keeping George Floyd subdued even after he was unconscious and probably dead. Most damning piece of evidence since the video in the Rodney King case back in 1991. Those of you who missed this, Rodney King was a big black guy. Maybe I think he might have outweighed George Floyd. And he was just plummeted by the L.A. police. I mean, he must have been hit 350 times with batons. It was totally outrageous. Now, Dershowitz continues, no reasonable person watching the video could justify what Chauvin did, certainly not during the final several minutes. when he cried for his mother, said he couldn't breathe. Incidentally, he's talking about having difficulty breathing even as they're arresting him and putting him in the squad car, which turns out to be extremely difficult. This is a big guy. I'm guessing he's around 6'3", maybe larger. I would have thought at least 250. Danny will give me some further advice. Dershowitz continues, no one watching that hellish video will ever forget it. Based on the video alone, Chauvin deserves to be fired, as did the police officers who stood by and did nothing to prevent his unnecessary death. But the trial is not about morality, politics, or even ultimate justice. It's only about whether the state can prove beyond a reasonable doubt all the elements of second degree, third degree, or second degree manslaughter, which are the charges presented to the jury. The videotape will be the most important piece of evidence, as a prosecutor reminded jurors to ask them to judge what they saw with their own eyes. But the defense will ask the jury to consider facts beyond the videotape. What happened before it began, what happened during, but outside its view, and what happened after. They'll also offer a somewhat different interpretation. They'll try to show when first arrested, he tried to resist, swallowed an illegal drug to prevent the police from seizing it, refused to follow the orders of the police. They'll also prove he shouted he could not breathe well before Chauvin pinned him to the ground. The defense will claim because of acts not caught on the video, the officers were justified in handcuffing him and placing him face down on the ground. They'll also claim before and during the period shown, an angry crowd was beginning to gather. They'll argue the protests generated fear in the minds of the police, including Chauvin, and distracted them from the impact of his knee on Floyd's neck. They'll also dispute the prosecution's claim the video conclusively demonstrates Chauvin had his knee on Floyd's neck, thus obstructing his breathing. They argue a closer look at the video suggests Chauvin's knees were on Floyd's shoulders and there was no actual obstruction of his breathing. The defense will focus on the presence of large quantities of life-threatening drugs coupled with pre-existing medical conditions that may have contributed to his demise. And by the way, I know Michael Bannon, who was the head of the medical panel for the House Select Committee when it reinvestigated the assassination of JFK, which is a mixed endorsement because they reconstituted the back of JFK's skull as though there were no massive blowout at the back of the head, which was indefensible, as I documented again and again and again in multiple books with multiple experts. But Bannon found here that he actually died from a fentanyl overdose and other drugs in his system where, you know, the knee may or may not have been a contributing factor. For the prosecution, the case is all about the video, Dershowitz continues, as well it should be, because the power of putting jurors at the scene and encouraging them to judge for themselves. For the defense, it will be about what's not on the video, what the jurors cannot see and must hear themselves from experts, eyewitnesses, possibly even the defendant himself. This is makes it a pretty damn interesting case. It remains to be seen whether jurors will begin and end their inquiry with a videotape. Recall that a state jury in the first Rodney King case failed to convict in the face of comparably damning video, but a federal jury later did convict. This jury is more diverse, and the times have changed dramatically since 1991. Lawyers for the Floyd family has called the trial a referendum on racial justice in America. That is wrong. That referendum has already occurred not only in America, but around the world. The videotape has proven in the minds of most reasonable people that racial justice is far from being achieved. What remains to be determined is whether the video, considered in the full context of all the evidence, will prove beyond reasonable doubt Chauvin's guilty of second-degree, third-degree murder or second-degree manslaughter or not guilty. The answer to these narrow and somewhat technical legal questions is far less clear than the answer to the broad moral and political questions of racial justice in America. Dershowitz really writes well. He's excellent in his argument. And while, like the rest of us, he certainly has his human failings, I thought that was a very perceptive, analytical analysis of the situation. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, yeah, he does write well, but he's not a really good investigator on what happened to George Floyd, unfortunately. But, you know, he can take a news story and add, you know, his bit to it, which he is obviously, he was a professor and taught law for many years, you know, including he was the mentor of Ted Cruz, who became an attorney. So, you know, there's no doubt about that. But we have to back up, sir, and I'm not sure where you want to start or how much time you want to spend on it.
Daddy, a fair amount. You know, you go ahead. Start where you...
Yeah, we dissected the George Floyd, we call it the event. I believe we were calling it for a long time. And the problem is, well, there's several problems. So I'll try to highlight a few, and then you can stop me, I guess, whatever you want. But it starts off with the problem is that George Floyd, the real George Floyd, his attorney came out and said that he passed away 2 years before this event happened. So that's kind of a problem. The other problem is we did a background check on everybody that was involved in this unit and this whole event, and they all come up ghosts and they don't exist. And that's a major problem. For instance, the officer, Derek Chauvin, we looked in all of the records, and including went through some police records, and there's no record of a Derek Chauvin at that department or anywhere in the area. What we did find is we found there's a Derek Chauvin that was out of Florida, and it fit the age. Some of it fit. They took down his Facebook page, so we couldn't get a photograph. And what's interesting is the Derek Chauvin out of Florida right then or right before then disappeared with his wife. His wife was a registered, had a medical license in Florida. They had voted in Florida at that time. They had owned a home in Florida. We confirmed that. We actually got their neighborhood, their address. We got everything on them, but we couldn't actually find this particular couple. And what we did find through the records is they had nothing to do with the state of Minnesota. It was reported that his wife was a realtor. Well, that was a mistake, because everybody knows a realtor has to have a real estate license. And that's very easy to look up. And of course, there was no real estate license. She was not a realtor, in fact. There was one real estate agency that said at one time that she worked there as a realtor. Well, we went through those records and we found out that that was a lie as well. So, you know, through records, we can confirm quite a few things. So that didn't turn out. And then the other problem that we ran into, sir, and I'll try to keep it PG rated, is we found the gentleman that played George Floyd in the famous choking video. But the problem is we found him on a porn website. And he was playing the part, and you'll never guess what his porn name is. I'll give everybody a second to think. Oh, my, what was his name? His porn name was George Floyd. Yes, indeed, it was. His videos can still be found on the web. I'm probably not going to give out the website, but he was playing a porn star, and we found a series of videos, and it's definitely the man that we saw being placed in handcuffs that day and being choked in that video. So now we have another major problem. Who is the man really in the video, when we found out that George Floyd, from his attorney, died 2 years prior? Okay. We found out that the family was fake at the funeral. Okay. We found out that none of the siblings match. And we found out that he died. And we found that out from his attorney. So we know we got a major problem. And then, you know, just try to speed forward to the choking video. We broke that down and found all kind of anomalies. And we would need, again, another entire radio show to go through the anomalies. But one of them, when you watch that video, you can see the gas station across the street is out of place. Diesel is 99 cents a gallon. At no time has diesel ever been 99 cents a gallon. There's, you know, the street was blocked off. We found, you know, there was a dummy at one point from another angle in the video. It wasn't him. He had lost weight. There's splices in the video, missing pieces in the video. And again, you know, it opens up a whole can of worms on all the anomalies that we've found in the video as we broke it down. There we go. So anyway, you know, there's a lot of things that popped up right away that create problems. And then here's a big one, sir, that I sent you a photograph of. I know you've been busy. I don't know if you analyzed the photo, but I have a very good friend that went to Houston, Texas the other day, and he was there for about 4 days. And he went over to where Derek Chauvin was supposedly buried and where the funeral was and all that stuff. And he wanted to see it for himself.
You mean George Floyd? George Floyd. You said Derek Chauvin. George Floyd. Yeah,
George Floyd. He went over there and he actually called me and said, you know what, I'm going to go look at this thing. And I said, no kidding. So he had me on the phone and he kept calling me throughout. He walked all the grounds. He walked everything. He found the groundskeepers to be a little bit standoffish. They didn't want to give any information. One of the groundskeepers said, well, you know, we've had some death threats. And he thought that was a little strange. And he asked him, what does that have to do with why I'm here, sir? I want to find the grave site, please. Can I see it? So finally, he pointed it to him after a few questions into a mausoleum type of building with a gate. Okay. And again, I guess we don't have that picture today, but he pointed it to him. He goes, we moved him inside of that mausoleum. And if you remember the photographs that we had of the funeral, we had a few where it looked like a wax dummy in the casket. It didn't really look real, but, you know, whatever. We don't know. And a lot of those videos were taken down offline. I mean, excuse me, photographs. After we captured him. But, you know, he went over to this mausoleum and he walked around and he's talking to me and he's looking around and guess what? There is no George Floyd. He went through every single name that was in there because it was open to the public and there was no George Floyd. And of course, the groundskeeper did not want to give any follow up on it. There was nothing like that. So again, he scoured, he spent several hours looking around. There's no George Floyd anywhere to be seen, even though he was told by the groundskeeper and we're told by the mainstream media that he was buried at this particular cemetery. So this story just continues to have holes in it, sir, everywhere. Okay. So even when I look at the trial now and I see the officer that they show on television that's pretending to be Derek Chauvin, he does not match up with the Derek Chauvin that we see in the choking video. He looks different. His weight looks different. His hair, his face looks different. He's got a few similar features, but I would encourage anybody to match up the choking video to the guy that we see on TV, and it's a different guy. It's not the same guy in that video, sir.
That's all fascinating, Danny, and I'm glad you remind me of so many details that are so very telling, including the porn star being the same guy who's being arrested, so we know he's an actor. I'm looking here at video now that shows him being taken out of the other side of the car, which I thought we did not have, but which is now available. And of course, it's a huge struggle, and he's lying down on the ground. And I've heretofore reported, you know, it's very strange that he seems to have lost his hair between the time he's put in one side of the squad car and the time he's taken out of the other side. Also that now while he's manacled behind his back, we have hands in front of his chest here. But I now can see where from this other video, which may have been manufactured to produce this result, that although his hands are manacled behind his back, he sort of have one hand hanging out in front of his chest. Have you noticed that, Danny? Leading me to be...
Oh, yeah, we covered that in detail, sir. And if you could leave that photo, I know we're on radio, but for people that, you know, watch the simulcast later, there's a lot of anomalies in this. So if we can spend a minute or two on this, I'll tell you, he does not have handcuffs on. So this scene is very, very important because what happened is we saw them put him in from the curbside. They tried to load him into the car, and he went right to his feet, okay? And it's quite common for suspects to do that don't want to go into a patrol car after they've been arrested. They'll go, it's called going limp is the technical term for it. And you got to pick them up and you got to put them in the car, okay? And that's no secret. That happens every day around this country. But the video cuts off And I'm like, okay, why would the video cut off or be strategically edited right when the guy goes limp? Why can't we see them pick him up, struggle to get him into the car, right, and put him into the car? We don't see that very strategically edited video that we see from that surveillance footage that was across the street. But then we move to this scene and the choking scene, and we notice that when they're struggling, I can tell you, sir, and we reported before, you never are going to take handcuffs off the suspect, okay? Once they're cuffed behind the back, and he was cuffed across the street approximately 50 yards from there where they walked him across the street over to this curbside, and he was handcuffed the whole way behind his back. You can see both officers walk with them behind him and got him over there. As a matter of fact, Eric Chauvin wasn't even the arresting officer. It was two other guys that were the primary, and that's their patrol car. And Eric Chauvin didn't even show up, or the character playing Derek Chauvin didn't even show up till later on in the scene, which is very troubling. And the other officers appear to disappear from the scene that actually made the arrest. So this thing was definitely shot in multiple takes. It wasn't. You astutely pointed out that his hair changed. When he was arrested, he had hair across the street, and then simply walking across the street, when we get into the struggle and we go to this take right here, his hair is missing. Well, guess what? He was handcuffed, okay? And as they're struggling to get him into back into the patrol car and car, now we see his handcuffs are missing. If you notice his hand, it clearly does not have a handcuff on it. And I could tell you that the police are not going to remove your handcuffs while you've been arrested and they're struggling to put you in a patrol car. And this clearly shows in that photograph, sir, that something is wrong. You would not remove the handcuffs. We also have that Asian officer standing there by the license plate, and he has no magazine in his weapon. He's carrying a Glock pistol. Everybody knows what a Glock handgun is. Well, I can tell you right now, cops are not in the habit of leaving the station without a magazine in their firearm, okay? They don't do that. And that Asian cop right there definitely does not have a magazine in his firearm. You can also see the license plate of the car that says police on it. Okay, and we checked into that, and the police cars there don't drive around the city and say police on the back of them. They all have some sort of a number on the back, but yet that police car happens to say police on it, which is their way of rubbing it into our face. It's some kind of a coded scene. I'm not sure what was going on there, but there's so many anomalies, sir, that show that this was fake. I mean, it's just hard to fathom that people still believe that this was a real event and this really happened.
Danny, you make so many excellent points. Now, as you know, but our audience does not, I'm playing now a clip from the longer version where he's being put into the squad car. I'm kind of dumbfounded. It's such an awkward process to even get him in the squad car into the back seat. But as I continue to let this play, and you can just keep your commentary directly on it or other aspects of this, you see him coming out on the opposite side, and I don't understand how he gets out on the opposite side, Danny. Why in God's name would he get out the opposite side? You'd think once you get him in the squad car, you zip off to the precinct and you have him booked, mug shots, and, you know, incarcerated. So does any of this fit?
None of it really fits, sir. You know, suspects can fight getting in the patrol car, but, you know, as we can see here, he's handcuffed. So you can see the cuffs are on him. Those handcuffs, sir, do not come off that suspect until he's in the jail and he gets into central booking. They're not coming off, okay? They'll be removed when they place him into a cell, but they do not take those handcuffs off for safety. They're not going to do that. There's firearms around. They're just not going to take the handcuffs off for any reason once a suspect is handcuffed. So he's handcuffed. And, you know, the other door might have been open because he was going to try and pull him through. But usually if a guy's going to go limp and he's going to start kicking and flailing around as a large man like that, you're going to put leg restraints on him because you don't want to get kicked with his feet, right? So you just grab the leg restraints, throw those on, and it keeps him from wailing his legs around. Then you just pick him up like a burrito and you put him in the back of the car. Again, you hate to do this, but there are, believe it or not, sir, there's many felon suspects out there that don't want to go to jail. They know that once those cuffs go on, they know their freedom is gone, the ride is over, and it's going to be another stint back into prison. Okay, that's just the way it is. Okay, so it does not fit this thing. I mean, they had them for counterfeit, counterfeit $20 bill. But the problem is, you have to remember, this is an actor. We've ID'd this man. This man's real name is not George Floyd. It's his porn name. The real George Floyd died 2 years prior to this. We have not ID'd who this man is. We would have to get his fingerprints to see who he is. This particular man is not who we're being told. This is an a Hollywood play, sir.
Notice how here they have his handcuffed hand over at the side so his hand will be in front, even though he's handcuffed behind. Very awkward. Can you comment on that, Danny? Could that account for
You can clearly see his handcuffs on him, sir, in this video.
Yes.
But yet in that photograph, we see the handcuffs are missing. So at one point, we don't see anywhere where they remove the handcuffs. They're struggling with them, but they're not going to remove his handcuffs. But yet in that photograph where we see the license plate that says police, he's not. The other problem is this particular video doesn't match up with other videos of the choking where his head was farther back towards the tire. So this suggests even another take in the multiple takes that this was done. This was not done all in one motion. It was done over several different takes. And we've seen where the body position is different. The size of the body is different. One time it looked like a mannequin. One of them, the man looked like he was 100 pounds lighter and looked kind of plasticky. One of them, you pointed out, he had hair. He didn't have hair. I mean, we have anomalies all over the place. But again, in this particular video that you have, he's got handcuffs on, but yet in that photo, we clearly see the handcuffs were removed as his body's up against the tire. And it looks like he's kind of helping the police position himself to kind of get in position to be choked. It just, sir, none of it fits. It's all done. We broke it down in multiple details. I know what I know. I know what the records tell us. Okay, I know what the records told me about all the police involved, their locations, where they live, all the different things. This thing spells false flag, sir, like we've never seen before. This is a completely staged event. This trial, I'm convinced, is a show trial. I don't believe that that's even the same man in the video. The officer, I don't believe that's even the same man that's in that video that we see. And you know what? Who knows how they're going to steer this thing? Maybe they're looking for another riot to start.
Danny.
Come out and say,
Danny, we got the break. We got the break, Danny. This is great stuff. And we will take your calls when we return from the break. I'll give you the number. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm not surprised we already have a caller standing by, but let me give you the number, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. And before I bring him on, let me just mention they had George Floyd's girlfriend, or so she claims to be, on the stand in tears, Danny. I mean, how many years has this been? Tearfully telling a jury the story of how they met at a Salvation Army shelter, where he was a security guard with his great deep southern voice, raspy, and how they struggled mightily with an addiction to opioids. I gotta say, Danny, one of the features of the arrest videos is he sounds like a little girl when they go to arrest him in his car. He has a squeaky voice. He's practically crying. There's nothing deep and raspy or southern sounding about it. It's childish. Now, the other reason I wanted to bring this up is that we have a now retired police officer, sergeant, who was on duty the night he died, said that based on his review of the body camera video, the officers should have ended their restraint after Floyd stopped resisting. He also said officers are trained to roll people on their side to help with their breathing after they've been restrained in the prone position. When Mr. Floyd was no longer offering up any resistance to the officers, they should have ended, he actually says could have ended the restraint. And that was when he was handcuffed and on the ground and no longer resisted? Yes, yes, the sergeant replied. Now, Danny, I think that's probably the most damning evidence here that they would have against against the officer Chauvin, whoever he may be. So comment on both. I mean, I'm very suspicious of this girlfriend. It doesn't look right to me even remotely. Tell me your thoughts.
The first thing that stands out there, sir, is, you know, I'm going to keep delving on the facts and the records. Okay, the first thing I'm going to say about that is the fact that she said he was a security guard. A security guard came up. Now, sir, to be a security guard in most states that I know, okay, you have to have something called a guard card, okay, to be an official security guard. And that's a document that you get from the state. So what I don't understand is he is a convicted felon, sir, okay? So the real one is a convicted felon. Now, they keep pushing on us that supposedly he was a security guard. And I can tell you, sir, they don't hire convicted felons as security guards. There's too much liability, and you just cannot get a guard card, sir, with the state when you're a convicted felon. So that blows a hole out of that story every time they keep mentioning that he is a convicted felon turned security guard. That just does not happen, sir, okay? You can't have any weapons. It doesn't make, that just does not fit. I'd also like to put back up, sir, before the break, I was about ready to make a point. I was hoping I didn't lose my train of thought, is, you know, every time I look at these shootings, okay, any shooting, particularly in Chicago, Oakland, Baltimore, whatever, you know, I see the videos are very complete on these shootings. I follow two very closely in Boston. I mean, excuse me, not Boston, in Chicago recently. And I brought it up on our last broadcast, one that was done at a makeshift nightclub. It was a tire shop that was turned into a nightclub at night illegally, and 15 people were shot. There was no, you know, CNN there. The mainstream media didn't cover it. A few people were killed. But, you know, sir, what I did during these shootings is I ran the background check on the suspects. Okay, there was also a female that just was involved in a shooting. You can see it all on videotape. You know, it was a legitimate shooting. You can see it. You can see all the officers show up with the patrol cars everywhere, you know, like you would normally see at a shooting. But, again, I ran the records again of the people involved. And right away, sir, the person comes up in the databases, okay, that I have access to. And I can see everything about them. Okay, I can see where they live, driver's license, rap sheet, how many times they've been arrested. I mean, I see all that stuff. And of course, every time I see these shootings in Chicago or Baltimore or some of these other inner cities, I will randomly just check them. And all the principals come up. All their names come up in the database. I can see everything. But yet when we go to these high-profile events where there's a white person, for some reason, all of the mainstream media is there. Why is it that all the records disappear? Why is it that the police don't come up anymore? Why does everybody not have a license anymore? Everybody comes up as a ghost and scripted, but yet only in these black inner cities, they come up as real. I'd like everybody to really take that in and think about that, sir. This is a show trial. That girlfriend is fake. She's an actor, nothing more than an actor. This trial is a show trial, okay, made up of actors. It's a script, just like on Hollywood when we watch, a court drama on television. This is a scripted show, okay? There is no, this whole event was done as, on a closed set, and we know for a fact that it never even happened, and we know the people involved aren't even who they say they are, including Derek Chauvin, the officer. He's not in the database, okay? It's impossible for everybody involved in this to be a ghost, including his wife. Everybody, nobody exists. None of the other officers come up in the database. Something is wrong, sir. This whole event stinks. I just know from the beginning because we've investigated it in detail. You pointed it out. And you would think, sir, you would think, the people that put these events on, I'm wondering, sir, why they have not reached out to you and offered you a few hundreds of millions to put these together for them. Because you keep busting them one after other. Do they not know that there are PhDs out there that have investigators that are going to put these things together? You know, or they don't care? I'm not sure what the heck is going on, sir. But this thing gets more laughable by the minute. The trial is a complete farce, okay? I don't know what that girl's real name is. If I had it, I'd probably be able to find out that she's a fake, too. This whole thing is fake, sir. He wasn't a security guard because he's a convicted felon. He also died 2 years prior. This thing is just ridiculous, sir.
You mean being a porn star isn't a qualification for a security guard?
No, it is not. And, you know, I tried to get the name, his real name, and I wasn't able to do that. But he calls himself George Big Boy Floyd, okay? And that is his porn name. His videos are all over the place. And you can clearly see it's the character that's playing George Floyd in the movie or the choking or whatever you want to call it. It's the same guy, same build, same tattoos. Everything is exactly the same.
And
who do they think they're fooling, sir? This thing is a joke. I can employ anybody listening to the sound of my voice. Look at the evidence. This was a contrived, staged event to give them an excuse to commit these riots, probably use the riots as a distraction to give Trump a hard time when he was still in office or at that time, you know, whatever the reason was to start all the riots. This was a staged event that they had planned for a long time to go with all the other staged events that they had planned at that time, one after another, to the one we see now, to this show trial. Well, that they're showing us now.
Well, how absurd is it that she's saying how she was attracted to him by his deep, gravelly Southern voice when he's whining like a little girl when they're pulling him out of the squad car? I mean, there's no resemblance whatsoever. And I love your point about diesel at 99 cents. That's going to resonate with a lot of callers like our Paul from California who's joining us now. Paul, your thoughts.
Well, I got to say that this guest, Danny Saris, is one of your better guests with his level of analysis. And I love the line, the best line of the first hour, probably one of the better lines of many shows, although I think the delivery needs some more work. But his line of his lawyer said that he died 2 years ago, that's kind of a problem.
Yes.
You know, I thought the same thing. I don't watch this trial. I'm not going to watch the trial. I've only seen stills from, you know, online articles. And the first thing I said when I saw this Derek Chauvin, I go, that ain't the same dude. I mean, I just looked at it. I didn't need to do any fine analysis. I just looked at it. I go, that's not even the same guy. Welcome to the world of the Jew, where all they do is they give us stuff that ain't real to talk about. Constant, never-ending stream of fake, false, fraud, propaganda. Discuss this, Goyim. Never mind that we're ruining your country. Never mind that we're stealing all the wealth since the beginning of the Federal Reserve, and even we tried to steal it before that, and on all the usual stuff I've covered for years. And this fake trial, you couldn't be more right, Danny. It's just absolutely a joke. There is no way that this is a real trial in a real court for a real event. It's completely ridiculous. And it reminds me of the way Miles Mathis dissected the Manson trial with his masterful 82-page PDF on the Tate murders, where he showed in many cases they didn't even get the uniforms right. Even the raid on the Spahn Ranch, which made the newspapers, and he pointed out that they pieced together the uniforms of the different agencies like it was from a costume shop, because all he did was to find out, okay, what's regulation for the LA County Sheriff? What's regulation for the LAPD? What do they do? Where do they wear their badge? You know, it just stuff like that, little things. And quickly before I'm done with this little mini rant, Danny's exactly correct about the security guard thing. And I didn't even, that's one of those things the average person wouldn't think about. But yeah, I'm currently a quote security guard, and it's through California, through, I think it's the Bureau of Investigative Services or something like that. You got to take a course and you got to pay for the course, and the license costs like $75 a year and you got to renew it. So yeah, he's exactly correct on all these little details. But of course, people don't pay attention to the details, do they?
Well, Paul, those are all great comments. Of course, Danny here is talking about four different false flags, phony events. I mean, we got the thing in Orange, we got the Boulder, we got the Kobe helicopter crash, and we got George Floyd. I mean, they're going on all the time. It's like if you look back at the politically significant events of the last several years, virtually every single one of them has been phony, fake, fabricated, unbelievable, just total bullshit for political purposes. Danny, would you like to respond to Paul's comments so far?
Well, they're very good, obviously. I mean, you know, thank you for the compliment, by the way. But yeah, what he said is absolutely true. I don't watch the show trial, sir. I watched a few highlights that come on, I see on YouTube, but I'm not enthralled because I know it's fake. I looked at when Derek Chauvin was arrested, supposedly Officer Chauvin was arrested, and the first photo they put up of him when he was in jail wasn't him. I mean, I think you pointed that out on one of your shows as well that we did. It wasn't him. We knew right away it wasn't him. It's not the same guy. The height is different. The weight was different. I mean, how could he have changed that quickly right after he was arrested? It's not the same guy. So we know that, you know, from all the other investigations we did, it's not true. And I'm really glad that Paul pointed out, well, what a coincidence that he has a guard card. And I guess maybe most people don't know, if you've never been a security guard, to your benefit, you wouldn't know that you have to take a course and you have to go through a background check and you have to be checked to make sure you're not a felon. You can't be a convicted felon and get a guard card. The state is not going to issue you the certificate or the license. Same as being a police officer. You have a police, you have a credential. A lot of people don't know that. To be a realtor, you have to have a real estate license, right? To be a contractor, you have to be a contractor. Guess what? All cops have a law enforcement credential. And that's a big problem in these false flags because that's something very easy to verify. And again, all the real shootings in Chicago, Baltimore, all the ones that I look into, all the cops come up. I can see everything about them, everything I need to find out. I can find out, always look at the perp involved in the shooting. It's always a rap sheet, drugs. You see the history. You see all the arrests. You see everything. But yet when we see these big ones that are on television constantly, CNN, MSNBC, all these other events, just one time, I'd like to find one where everybody's not a ghost and where everything played out the way it should play out in real life. All you have to do is go check out some videos online on any of them, on any of the real shootings that happen in any of these inner cities. You can just sit back and watch and go, you know what? Wow, look at all the police cars. Look at all the rotors. Look at how they're taping off the crime scene. Look at how the suspect's handcuffed. Look at the ambulances. Look at the paramedics on the scene. After the suspect is even shot, you can see him trying to revive him. You see all the normal behaviors of trained medical and police professionals that are on the scene. But yet on these events, every single time, sir, 100%, the details can be cloudy, and then we come out. When we get the videos, we can find out, we pick them apart, and we find out it's a staged event, and it never happened, sir. Why they're doing this, I can let that up to your caller and you. They're just trying to distract us with, you know, look over here, why something else is happening. The caller alluded to that. You know, your guess is as good as mine why they're putting these on and why they're trying to distract us. You know, maybe they don't want us to see them stealing or doing something else or passing some law we don't want. We don't know exactly why they're doing these or what the purpose of each event is. But I'm sure glad, sir, that you take the time to assemble everything, put it together, and tell the public what's going on.
Well, let me interject, Danny, that it's not insignificant that the city of Minneapolis has saw fit to bestow $27 million upon the George Floyd family. How about that? You know, the value of this guy, of course, was infinite, but that's their humble contribution. I mean, go ahead, Paul. Your comments, I'm sure, will be spot on.
Right. Well, so what do you want to bet that $27 million is fake, too? I mean, it's going to be very difficult for me to swallow that that's going to be real money from the real government going to a fake victim's family. So it's just one of those things they put out there for you to, you know, let's face it, many of the things that they do are just trying to piss us off. I mean, in reality, they're trying to upset us, they're trying to piss us off, they're trying to make us afraid. I have a tongue-in-cheek theory, too, about these shootings, since they always increase gun sales and that ammunition has become so scarce because everybody's buying it, and this never seems to fail. And then, of course, we have concurrently, you know, the whole vaccine thing. And I'm thinking, hey, maybe shortly down the road, they're going to try to sell us a vaccine against being shot. You know, there'll be like some special right. magical vaccine that's going to make us immune to bullets.
I thought Danny made a great point, by the way, about the body in relation to the tire when he's taken out and lying on the ground. This is a big guy. He's too far forward of the tire from the other images we had where his head is barely peeking out past the tire. His shoulders are forward of the tire. Danny, would you not agree? I mean, this is just a blatant inconsistency. It's so bad they're just insulting us to our face.
Well, sir, if you think, let's just back up for a minute and look at the video. If you look at the choking video, and I know that, you know, that people listening can't see, but if you think about it, you put it in your head, his head was barely sticking out above that rear tire as the people, the bystanders on the curb were taking the live video, the girl with the rag around her head that said, they said she was a fireman. Of course, we checked into that. She doesn't exist. She's a ghost. She's no fireman. That was another freaking lie. You'd think they'd give up with all the stupid lies. But, you know, she was shooting the video there of him, and his body position was completely different. But yet we see the video that you just showed, and his head and his shoulders are way past the tire. Okay, so that shows you that this was done in multiple shows.
Yeah, I'll pull off the sound here, but run it so people who watch the video version will see more of the video. Danny, yeah, more and more. You make one telling point after another, just one after another. And, of course, I agree with Paul. I mean, I bring you on because you are so good. You're so thorough. You're so detailed. You cut through these cases like a hot knife through butter. You do a brilliant job, Danny. I love it.
I have a question for Danny.
Well, let Danny finish that comment, and then we'll take it, Paul. Danny, go ahead. Finish.
Okay. Well, what I was just going to say, sir, is, you know, the details really matter, okay, when you look at these things. And when you look at these videos and you can see that they were done in different takes, you can see that the characters on the street even change in each video. They it's like they have a different set of actors. And I'm not kidding about that. You look at the street characters and on some of these videos, and the girl with the bandana is there 1 minute and then she's not there. How could she disappear? I mean, she was there for the whole thing, but yet we see they're missing in some of these footages, and they're not there. There's footage from across the street that we analyzed. Somebody had turned in from across the street. We don't know where that footage came from, but we see the opposite view from somebody standing across the street, and all the bystanders are gone, and there's nobody on the street. And it's supposedly the same scene where he's being choked, but yet the body looks plastic this time, and he looks like he lost 100 pounds, and the body position has changed again. How many different body positions can we have when we're choking a guy? It seems to suggest that they choked him and said, hey, wait a minute, let's take a break. Then they move the body to a different position. Okay, action, let's get back, start the choking scene. Now he's in a different position. Then they take a break. Then it's like, oh, action, oh, the handcuffs are off now. You forgot to put the handcuffs on. You know, what is it, sir, that's going on here? I mean, every scene is different. We're not stupid. Okay, we're edgy. I don't have a PhD like you. I will. Well, you don't have a PhD to see with your own eyes that this, all these anomalies that are coming out. You know, when you break that video down, you see the paramedics show up. They're wearing really strange police uniforms. Okay, they don't normally dress like that. They don't have any safety equipment with them. They have no medical equipment. There's no medical bag that comes out to check him. They don't do any kind of standard protocol that a paramedic does when he shows up on the scene. They all have a med bag. They don't have any of that. And we very clearly see across the street the sign on the gas station that says diesel is 99¢ a gallon.
There it is, Danny. There it is. 99¢ a gallon and regular is 199. We can probably figure out what data was actually taken based on that combination. Paul, go ahead. Paul.
Where is it? I want to go fill my tank up.
I know. This is so insulting. This is so insulting.
You know, it's funny. The answer to your question, Danny, we said, what is going on? Well, the answer is, is obvious. It's always been the problem. It's white supremacism. It's like the white supremacism is so evident when they show all these videos of blacks attacking Asians. There's a guy, I forget his name, though, but I saw him on YouTube the other day, and he actually went, he just took a look at San Francisco. Now, this is just San Francisco, where there's tons of Asians. And guess what he found? He looked at all assaults and robberies, okay, of Asian victims. 85% black perpetrator. 85%. And there ain't even that many blacks in San Francisco. Okay, I think the black population in San Francisco is hovering around 5 or 6% because they've been pushed out over the last 25 years because of, you know, racism. So it's just, it's unreal the world we live in. The question I had for you, Danny, is I have not seen, and I wondered if you had, any mugshots or pictures of this real George Floyd down in Texas that his lawyer alludes to. Have you seen that?
I actually do have a picture that I sent Dr. Fetzer back in the beginning of this, of what I was told is the real George Floyd. He doesn't look anything in the photograph. That was only one photo, and he doesn't look like anything like this guy. This guy is a big, burly guy. I think Dr. Fetzer has it right, at least 6'2", 6'3". He's going at least 220, maybe 230 pounds. He's a pretty
This is the real George Floyd.
He's talking about the George Floyd arrested. Danny, describe the one you have the photograph of from Texas.
The one that I have that I got out of Texas is a short man. He looks a lot shorter. He looks under 6 feet. He's definitely right. Under 200 pounds. He actually has glasses on. And it's not the actor that we see in this scene.
Is he black? Is he black?
Yeah, he is.
Does he have a deep gravelly Southern voice? I mean, you know, give me a break.
It's only one photo.
I know. But I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous beyond words. Paul can take it.
Yeah, really quick. I saw an Ole Damegard moment just now in that still that you had up, Dr. Fetzer, and I saw the one shoe laying
there. Oh my God! I'll have to go back to that.
Ole Damegard, who's in my opinion one of the best.
Yes.
That I've seen at pulling these. That's why I'd love to call.
We agree. Yes.
On one of these. But there was one shoe laying on the ground. I've noticed.
Yep. Only found one shoe or shoes at all these fake events. We got a break here. Stand by. Stick with us. We'll be right back with Dennis.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Is that the
Even the government Danny? Admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm glad Paul's here. I paused at this frame, Dammy, because there you can see the license plate saying police, which right away all by itself is a tell that this is a fraud. Comment on it.
Well, sir, we looked into that the best we could, and I found several police cars or patrol cars that didn't say police on it. So the odds of getting the one car at the department that says police on it on this given day during this event is just one more very strange anomaly. You can read into that what you wear, but it is very strange. What I was going to say is the other shot that you had in between the ambulance and the car, there was a shot there that you had paused where you can see that there was the one black shoe laying on the street. There was the scene that you were looking for. But this whole particular thing, sir, is so full of anomalies. From the No Magazine and the Asian Guy's Gun, the license plate, those are, again, just little things. You know, saying what Paul was saying about the security guard, the fact that the mainstream media is pushing a story on us that, you know, this convicted felon that did two different stints in prison is now a security guard. And they actually want the public to think about that when, you know, you have to be licensed to do that. We know that's not possible. Now, the bystanders keep changing, sir. I mean, there's a different cast of characters on the sidewalk on every scene. Why do they keep changing all the actors on the street? What's going on with that? I mean, they keep changing the size of the body. They keep changing.
Oh, there it is. There's the shoe. There it is. There's the shoe. I love it, Danny. I'm going to pull it back and pause on it a sec. Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
I would say that was, I called that an Ole Damgaard moment.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to give a plug to Ole because, you know, I've actually learned some stuff from him that I've added that has made me look for things that maybe I wouldn't look for before. I'll never forget the time he did the Charlie Hebdo event, we call it. And, you know, at the time I thought that was probably real. I had no way of looking into that because that happened, over in Europe. But, you know, he was able to pull a soundtrack of the day when that was going on of some children across the street at a daycare that continued to play and life went on normal for them while this huge gun battle went on across the street. I mean, he blew that Charlie Hebdo thing. He put so many holes in it. It was getting to be comical as I listened to him break down all the subtle things that are in the background. That guy does an extremely thorough job, and it's caused me to take a look at more things even that are not just visual. And I saw that shoe there. And when I see things like that,
I want to pause it on the shoe. I'm just having a trick doing it. Paul, come on back in, Paul. Give us more of your thoughts.
Yeah, and so not to quibble with some of these descriptions of the size of this Minneapolis George Floyd, because I've heard you guys say various things like 6'2", 6'3", so on. Minimum, and I'm pretty good with height and weight, even looking at stuff like that when I'm not there. That guy in Minneapolis is football player big. He's no less than 6'4", and he's not a pound less than 250 or 260. And I'll stand by that, and probably he might even be closer to 6'5", just based upon, you know, all the other people that are around that have come and gone. But yeah, you know, this whole world that we're living in is, as Danny has so well pointed out, and Jim, let's face it, you spent your career. I mean, look at, we could go all the way back to World War II, right, with the Holocaust that, you know, didn't happen, and the Gulf of Tonkin that didn't happen, and nobody died on the moon, right? Nobody died at Sandy Hook. Nobody died in Boston bombing, Parkland, so on and so forth. It reminds me of one of my better lines that I've used when I used to talk about this stuff up at the coffee shop nearby, when you could actually go there and sit down and have a cup of coffee before the non-existent COVID. Some person was saying to me, you know, they're, you know, kind of putting up a resistance to my suggestion that most or all these things are fake and we're living in a fake world. He actually said to me, he goes, well, so what are you saying? Nothing ever happens? And so I looked at him and I go, well, does anything newsworthy happen in your life generally? And he goes, well, no. I go, well, there you go. Extrapolate that out.
Nice, Paul. Nice. Yeah, I love that Ole Domegaard moment with a shoe. That's just such an excellent notice, Danny. I love it. And I think Paul's right about the height. And did you, Paul, have you heard the video they have where they're arresting, pulling him out of his own car? And he's got this high, squeaky little girl voice. I mean, he's practically crying. He sounds like a child, literally, like a child. He doesn't have a deep, gravelly, southern voice. I mean, it's just absurd. It couldn't be more opposite.
I bet you Danny can testify to this as a police officer. I don't know how much interaction he's had with blacks and other criminals. But they will indeed take on a childlike manner when they know they're getting arrested, and they don't want to be arrested. I didn't do anything wrong. I haven't done anything.
Not to trade on stereotypes, but I think Danny, let me ask you this. Don't both the defense attorney and the prosecutor have to know that he can't be a security guard if he's a convicted felon, and that they know his record as a convicted felon, and therefore this witness is testifying under oath falsely to the jury, which makes them accessories after the fact? In other words, my impression is all the participants of these events are in on it. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, there's no jury in this trial. And, you know, if wherever this building is where they're holding the show trial, me and you were able to walk into that building and they called us the witnesses, we would show a few photos that you've already shown today and we could blow this thing wide open. Of course they know this. Of course the attorney knows that you have to have a license as a security guard. Of course, I mean, if I was even an assistant in that room, as soon as that girl said, you know, security guard or whatever, I would have been elbowing the attorney going, wait a minute. You know what? He's not a security guard. What does that mean? Security? He's not a licensed security guard. You have to have insurance. You have to have a background check. And you have to have a guard card. What is he talking about? He did two stints in prison, and you're telling me he's a licensed security guard? You know, one of the problems is, sir, that when you get out of prison, okay, and a lot of people maybe know this, maybe they don't know this. The problem is when you're a convicted felon, especially for violent crimes, okay, gun crimes, drug crime, assault with deadly weapon, all the violent crimes that come along with that lifestyle and why they got locked up. When you get out of prison, sir, you're a marked man. It's like you have a tattoo on your forehead that says, I'm a felon. It's extremely hard to get back into society because nobody's going to give you a job. People do background checks. You're not going to get a job. I mean, even at a grocery store, you're not going to get a job. All applications, job applications say, are you a convicted felon? Okay, now if you lie on that, they can fire you. I remember for a while, Obama was complaining and saying that through executive order, he was going to try and remove that you can't ask somebody if they're a convicted felon, which is ridiculous. Of course you have a right to know the person's history before you hire them and bring them into your employees and into your world. But it's very hard to get a job. And that's why they're repeat felons. They cannot get a job. They go right back to the streets. They get a gun. They get a knife most commonly. And they're busted right back to prison for some sort of violent crime. I just saw in Oakland recently where a guy was released from San Quentin. And literally within 24 hours, he was on the bus caught with a knife harassing people. And he barely made it 24 hours. And he was busted right back to San Quentin because he didn't have a job lined up. I don't understand why they even allow these convicted felons of this nature out of jail when they don't even have a plan set up for them. They release them right onto the street. They go right back to work. You know, George Floyd was a convicted felon. And for them to suggest that he had turned and become the security guard and the whole rabbit story about, oh, he might have known Eric Chauvin at the nightclub where he worked. That was all a rabbit trail story to try and legitimize the fact that he was a real person, that he worked there. They might have known each other. They're both fictitious characters, sir. They're actors, okay? Derek Chauvin is not real. He doesn't come up in the database. He's not in the law enforcement credentials. George Floyd died prior. The man in the video that we see is a porn star. His porn name, we saw the videos. I saw the video. His name is George Big Boy Floyd. You can clearly see it's exactly the same man.
Gee, I wonder. Danny, I wonder if they're going to play those videos during the trial.
No.
Really to say, you know what, is this George Floyd or what's going on? Or the photograph I dug up of the pictures. Who exactly is the guy that we're talking about? I would love to background and check into the girlfriend and see what her story really is. You know, she's just a crisis actor, sir. This whole thing is a freaking show. When they're looking over at the jury, I wonder if there's a jury sitting there. There might be a camera sitting over there. I don't know what's going on.
I just got a great idea for
it. You've seen this before what do you call it? Shooting out of Colorado, the first one, the Batman shooting, whatever they're calling that one. That one was a complete farce and a show trial. The lawyer wasn't even real. I mean, it never ends. These are all scripted for, I believe, maybe to further push gun control, to try and bring back some riots for another distraction. I'm not sure why they're taking it this far, sir. When this thing has been busted wide open so many times, I mean, again, we're doing a good job again. Just with the photos you're showing today, we're showing the audience. Yeah. It's not real.
I'll
answer that question, Danny. By the way, Danny, you can only say it so many times. It's you know, it's one of those things where you just have to keep repeating it. But yes, absolutely. In fact, the very first thing that I said to somebody is, I bet you right now, because I knew the whole thing was fake anyway, and this is early on, way back, you know, last year when it happened, I said, I bet you right now that cop Chauvin isn't even a real cop, you know, on the police force. And I just thought, as I was listening to you, about how an interesting video would be to try to get some actual Minneapolis police officers, you know, on tape saying, okay, did you know this guy? Do you know who he is? I bet you right now, if you were to get the payroll records and stuff, that they would have to be fake, because I don't think he was probably ever a cop in the city of Minneapolis. And one more quick.
Well, let me just respond to that. You're going to have the chance. That means the chief of police and the administration of Minneapolis Police Department know this is a fraudulent trial of a fake police officer, and they're not saying anything about it. That is disgusting. That is a disgrace. You made such a great point. Danny, don't you agree? Everyone in the Minneapolis Police Department has to know this is a totally fictional, fraudulent trial of a non-existent police officer, which makes them accessories.
Well, sir, it is true. And, you know, all police are controlled. Open up a whole can of worms here. All police are controlled by their pension and their paycheck. Nobody wants to lose their pension. The Democrats are extremely, you know, it goes to gun control. Democrats basically don't want anybody to carry firearms unless they're in control of your financial future and your paycheck. And I would look into that. That's just the way it is. And they want the control of police over, and they control everybody with their pension and their paycheck. Of course they're in on it, sir. Everybody knows just about everybody. Now, to back up, when you're on these really large departments like Los Angeles, there's no way you know everybody. No, you don't. And sometimes you'll show up, and but normally you know all the guys in the area that you're working because you go to the same briefing. You know who works the whole area, right? And it's very rare you're going to see somebody you don't know. Now, again, large departments. But when you're in some of these departments, you definitely know everybody in the area. And the higher-ups in the department, from the chief, the deputy chief, lieutenants, you know, captains, they all know that this thing was BS. They're getting money. The department's probably getting some money, or some extra money is being shoved somewhere to somebody to stay silent. This happens over and over and over. I would like to point out the shooting of the nightclub shooting in that happened down in the LA San Diego area that we covered, with the officer that went into that bar or nightclub that was supposedly killed. Well, we found out that he was actually a musician. Well, I actually talked to somebody that worked on that department, on the sheriff's department, and he was a sergeant. And they showed him all over the country that he had been deceased. Well, you know what? I knew somebody that just had retired from that department, and I asked him point blank, did you work with this guy? Do you know? And he said, I have no idea who that guy is. And he didn't want to comment and go into it. And I thought that was really strange that he didn't want to offer details. He kept saying to me, you know what, Dan, I can't get into it, but I can tell you right now, I was there for 20 years. I have no idea who that guy is. I'm sorry. He didn't want to talk about it. And when I asked him, are you afraid of your pension? He winked. And I said, okay, now I know what's going on here. He doesn't even work there anymore, and he was afraid of losing his pension. He didn't want to give me all the details on it. And I understood. I got it. They control these guys, Dr. Fetzer, with their paycheck and their pension. You know, COVID's going on. Nobody wants to get fired. Nobody wants to lose a lucrative pension. So a lot of guys just keep their mouth shut. They go along with business as normal, and they just go about their business. It's a shame. All these people that are perpetuating these false flags, sir, all of them, the ones that set it up, actors, I think all of them should be prosecuted. I mean, they have family. You know what I mean? Cousins, uncles, whatever, friends, family, people from church that see them involved in these things. I don't know how they can show their face and walk into their church, walk back to their family, sit around the Thanksgiving table or whatever, and put these frauds on like this. I don't understand how they can do it. When they're doing these drills and all of a sudden it goes live and they don't speak out, they have to sign a form or they're going to be fired or lose their pension. They have to sign this non-disclosure form to keep quiet. You know, anybody that's involved with these false flag shootings anywhere in the country, and you're involved in a propaganda event for gun control, or you're going to come up with these big, huge stories where all these people died, and you don't say anything, sir, to me, that's guilt by omission. You are just as guilty of putting a fraud on the American people by not saying something as you are by saying something.
Let me make a quick point here.
I say, oh, I had to go along. I was going to get fired. I had to sign a non-disclosure, or they were going to take my pension. You know, it's going to be the same. When this finally comes down to it, we're going to hear the same line, and I don't want to hear it. They knew what was going on was fake. If that had ever happened, sir, and I had been involved with a situation like that, my hand would go up, and I'd say, you know what? I bow out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with this. I'm not signing a non-disclosure. I'd get in my car, and I'd drive off, and I'd call my union rep.
Yeah, there's no way. Okay, so Danny, listen, that's easy to say, and you make a valid point, and I don't disagree with it, but that makes you a very rare individual. And the problem that we have here is that we got people, as Jim knows, and he's covered on his show, we have people that are on average 1 to 2 months away from the street, essentially. Okay. Now, a police officer's salary is quite high compared to the average working person, and they do have an extremely lucrative pension arrangement in most cases. So I agree even more when it comes to police, but it also presupposes the idea of who are they going to tell? Who are they going to tell? Is the news media going to come and interview them? Okay, this is the good cop. He wants to blow the whistle. That's not the way the world works. So I do get why you're saying what you say, and I don't disagree with it. But let's face it, if you're not prepared to be poor, if you're not used to being poor, like I've been poor many times in my life, and I'm not that much above poor now, and I don't want to go back to, you know, where I was. But yeah, having principles in this world today has been made very difficult by the fact that they have destroyed the wages of the average working man. It's made no progress since the 70s, and as a matter of fact, it's gotten much worse as far as what it costs to live, rent, housing, and so forth. So we're all living in a very precarious financial position, and let's face it, the Jews have control of the switch. If they wanted to tomorrow, they could just switch off your cards, switch off your bank account. And what will we do? I mean, we'd have nothing, no other choice but to start rioting and stealing. Because if they literally were to stop the electronic banking system, we are completely and totally powerless to do anything about it until such time as we reinstitute another one. So we're in quite the pickle.
Let me just say, Mitchell has just posted Capitol on lockdown. U.S. Capitol Police, a person rammed a vehicle into two Capitol Police officers, a suspect in custody, both officers injured, all three transported to the hospital. That might be real. I mean, that's innocuous, small enough, you know, that could be real, I'll just say. We'll find out, but it's another event here in the same motif. Here, Danny, your thoughts.
Well, I mean, real events happen every day, sir. You just turn on a scanner and you listen to the police calls. What's funny is, you know, the Orange event, I haven't been able to get any police calls out of that, but I can't tell you how many of these false flags we've dug up the police calls. And you can hear over the radio where they said, you know, they tell other units that you don't have to respond. That was a drill. You know, they've been busted many times before with this sort of thing. So I do understand the purse strings are a big control. And it's another topic for another show. But I think what Paul brought up is very important for a different reason. And it goes to show, sir, that debt is the weapon of the elite. Okay. And I'm kind of a debt advocate as well. I'm known to show several people how to get out of debt that I run into. I've been doing that for many years. And there's many facets and many ways you can run your life, and you can set lifestyle aside and focus and get rid of that debt. And Paul, it was very important what you brought up. Is you're right, they could turn off the credit cards. There's many things they do, and that's why it's important to have other means handy. Have some cash on hand. It's very important to be out of debt. And you know what? I tell guys that I know that still are on the job that are working, if you have a bunch of debt and you're drowning yourself in lifestyle after work, you're riding all the new motorcycles and the latest ATVs, and you got, you know, payments off the wazoo, and you're barely making it every month, you know what? I tell them, listen, it might be time to put that lifestyle aside, get that debt paid off, okay, so you don't have to be such a slave like that. So you can start saving some money, okay, and not rely on that pension or that, you know, that great pension you're going to get someday, you know, and get out of that debt slavery. So many people, sir, are in debt, seriously in debt, paying interest, especially with this COVID thing. And debt is a big problem in this country.
And Biden wants to raise taxes? Have you ever heard anything so insane? And he's got this what is it? $3 trillion new bill for infrastructure, and it's like 5% has to do with infrastructure, and the rest is converting to the Green New Deal, which is going to rat F us into the next century. I mean, this is just disgusting. Paul, a few thoughts of yours.
I'm just waiting for inflation to explode on that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
yeah,
fake Biden, whatever you want to call him, is out of control. They don't care about the people. It's obvious.
Yeah. Paul, a few thoughts here to conclude.
Right. Well, earlier, I think, Danny, you made some comment about, you know, you're not sure why they keep doing this or you know, when's it going to end, this kind of some thought along those lines. And my immediate reaction when I heard that is, these people, and it has historically been shown and proven, these people either don't know when to quit, and they don't seem to know when to quit. And also, once they're in, they're all in. It's sort of like once you start to tell a lie, you can't let up on it, okay? You cannot let up on it. You have to keep going and going and going. And that's why this, in my opinion, the most important thing we need to destroy, besides the grip on the media and the means of information, is this COVID virus lie hoax. because they can't admit it now, even though it's a total fraud. Because once they admit it, then that just opens up the can of worms for lawsuits to all these various states and governments and municipalities everywhere and all these private corporations. So they're going to have to keep doubling down on this thing. And that's why, it just, in my opinion, the most important thing we can destroy is the credibility of this whole virus COVID hoax myth.
Paul, I couldn't agree more. Your comments today have been excellent. Danny, you just done a superb job once again. And I join Paul. I, you know, second his endorsement. I mean, I love bringing you on. You're so thorough, so detailed. You know your stuff backwards and forwards. You make so many telling points. I love, you know, some memorable moments, a 99 per gallon gas, the shoe missing, the fact that the body was too far forward of the tires, the fact the medical people don't appear to be legit either, the fact that to be a security guard, you cannot be a convicted felon, the fact that everyone participating in this trial has to know that this is a gigantic fraud, that the woman who claimed to be his girlfriend talked about a guy with a deep, gravelly southern voice who bears no resemblance to this guy that was arrested, who was whining like a little girl. I mean, it's just ridiculous from A to Z. $27 million to the family. Let me guarantee that's hush money. Though Paul makes a good point, it could all be fake money, too. It could be all pretense. But the Minneapolis mayor, the Minneapolis city council are all deeply involved in this. The Minneapolis police department knows this is a fraud. And they're remaining silent. These are all accessories after the fact. They all deserve to be prosecuted, tried, convicted to the full extent of the law. I am just outraged by what's going on. And the fact that I lived 19 years in Duluth, Minnesota, as a faculty member of the University of Minnesota, I find this insulting. It's a disgrace. It's dereliction of duty. The Minneapolis City Council, the mayor, the police department should be ashamed of themselves. They have abdicated their responsibility to the public and betrayed America. This is outrageous beyond belief. Thanks so much for being here. Oh, Paul, Danny, you were superb. We'll be back Monday. See you then.
Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.